something great, the whites, into a little interim bowl.
Into the Soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get Into the Soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup right here on 93.9 KWSS. My rockin' radio redhead is at my side, Emily King.
Yeehaw! Let's Woo-hoo! Do it.
I know, it's kind of like, it's that mule. Yeah. I know, it's like, you know, it's really, really hot. It's like 150 degrees. Let's have something cool
it's
and
delicious.
Summery. I know, it's a good one, huh?
Yeah.
Back at Bootleggers.
It's got a little bite to it.
It yep. does, a little kick maybe, like a mule would.
I love this room.
I know, isn't it cool? Mm-hmm. And Rick Phillips is supposed to be here, but apparently he got tied up in some meetings across town. So he said that if he can make it, he will, and we'd love to see him. And if we don't, thanks, Rick, for the room.
We miss you.
It. Yeah, we do miss you. I'm going to hit him up for the 16th of June and see if we can borrow this again. Because he's just like, hey, if you need the room, come on down anytime. It's like, how neighborly is that?
He's so nice.
We got a chuckle from the peanut gallery.
You can probably hear him. This board's hot. There we go.
So graduation's in the air. Sammy graduated. Everybody knows that one.
You graduated.
I graduated from Arizona Culinary Institute.
How was that?
You know, it was really cool.
Let's do a play-by-play.
Okay, you want to?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it was really hot.
And was it outdoors?
No, God, no. No, but we were driving over there, and for some reason, Shailene, who was in my class, ended up behind me, and she just followed me, and I pulled into the wrong parking lot, and everybody followed me. We get out of the car.
Leading a parade.
I know, we're walking along, and I'm like, oh, wait, this is the wrong parking lot. So we had to get in our cars to go back over. Got our toques, sat down, and everybody's teams are just kind of like sitting in their chairs, nice and quiet and everything, and we're over there in a circle, cracking up, making fun of people, belly laughing, just, you know, busting a gut down front. And then we had our speakers, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then we had our keynote speaker, and then they brought us across the stage. Samantha was there, so that was pretty cool.
Yay.
We did our little noise. And I cross the stage, and I go to hug Chef, and then I hug the other chef, and it squished my hat. So my exit from stage left was like, I was trying to hold on to my hat. And
you look like Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, it was just
a little floppy.
A dent in it. But we got our... we got our diplomas and then went back to the school for some snacks. And they had a sangria that almost knocked you on your butt.
Wow.
I couldn't even drink
Somebody
it.
Somebody got a little happy with that red wine.
I couldn't drink it.
Oh.
Yeah, I got like four sips in and I'm like, mm-mm.
What was in that?
I don't know.
We've got to find out.
Nitroglycerin? Not sure. But so then we went down to Rehab Burger Therapy.
Good place to go
after
some.
And celebrated down there to the teammates and Sammy and I.
Right
yeah,
on.
It was fantastic.
What did you have?
I had that little chicken chili thing. I couldn't do a burger. It was too hot.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but everybody else did. I mean, monster burgers.
I can always do a burger.
Can you?
Yep.
And they have, because they accommodate you with gluten-free buns.
Yes, they do.
Wow. Speaking of gluten-free, let's talk picnics.
That's a great segue.
I know, right? So, I have no idea why picnic came into my head, but I started
picnic
actually...
Picnic basket.
You know, picnic basket. I have a friend, actually, that told me that women have fallen in love with him because of what he puts in his picnic basket.
I would believe it, because every picnic I've ever been on has been... Well, not everyone, but all the good ones have been romantic picnics.
Well, they're supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't start out that way. It was actually... In the first print of it was like 1648, and it's actually a French term. So it's
are they roasting meat over a fire outside,
yeah.
wearing furs?
With a big fur on and a stick. It's coated in some sort of something. But it's actually peak, P-I-Q-U-E, meek, N-I-Q-U-E.
Okay.
And the first time I heard of that was when one of my instructors at Arizona Culinary Institute, and I'm going to let everybody know his name because everybody's going to guess it, and his name is Chef Jean-Marie Rigolet. So he was explaining this to us one day in class. And I sent him a reminder, and I'm like, Chef, can you remind me exactly what this is? Because I get the gist of it, and he drew pictures and everything. So he sends me a note, and he says, Le Nouveau Vocabulaire de l'Académie Francois, dated 1826, of which
nice.
I have an original copy.
Can we appreciate your French accent?
Yeah, thanks. You know what?
Good job.
I'm too damn lazy to learn a language, but I can do an accent in anything. Seriously, you'd believe I was Indian. The dot, not the feather.
You mean muy grimosabe.
Okay, dated 1826, of which I have an original copy, gives the following definition. I have to be careful here. A meal where everyone pays their part of the meal, as in going Dutch. Further, niek is a sign of mockery. By extension, to be neek would have been done, beaten, or screwed. In today's French language, that's what it means. So to eat and to...
Oh.
That's pique-nique.
Fantastic. That's exactly
I love Rigolet. He was an awesome instructor, and we're all sitting there, and there's like 21-year-old kids in the class going, wow.
I didn't know I was going to learn that.
So did you have, considering that, all your best picnics were romantic, did you have picnics with your family, like at the lake and down by the river?
Oh, yeah. We used to go sailing all the time on Lake Pleasant. Oh. How many bodies are in there?
I don't know.
But every summer we would take our sailboat out, and we would do a picnic on the boat. And a lot of times we would camp out there, and it was just a really good time. And I was thinking about that all weekend because it was so gosh darn hot.
Yeah. And would you go out and sail in that kind of heat?
Yep. Yeah, we sure did.
You're native Arizonans,
hardcore.
Right?
Hardcore.
Yeah, you are hardcore.
No, my dad's from Florida, Virginia originally, and then my mom's from the Midwest. So she is used to that heat, that really nasty midsummer heavy heat. That's why you're from Seattle.
Well, that's why I go up to Flagstaff at every possible chance that I can. We had great picnics when I was a kid. And we had those really cool little things, you didn't want to take a barbecue with you. Now everything's so portable. I mean, the picnic baskets they have now, they're on wheels, they fly.
I have several.
Do you?
Gifted to me. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We had these cool little Lawrence.
Pushing the table around, Incredible Hulk across the table.
We had these great little, how you'd put a hot dog on a stick? Right, and cook
like
it over the fire. but you cook it over the fire.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, because it would be.
Yeah, I'm familiar with those.
Your dad would make you go look in the forest for a stick that had two prongs on it so you could prong your hot dog.
Nope.
Oh, okay. So anyway, but we had these little hamburger cookers, and it was like, it looked like a spatula, but it closed down, it was hinged. And you could put the hamburger in between it and then just hold it over the fire and cook it like that. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, picnicking and camping in Washington State, the Pacific Northwest, was awesome.
We did camping in North Carolina. That was a lot of fun. I assume it's, similar.
It
very
might
rainy.
Be. Was it buggy?
Yes.
Yes, lots of bugs. There's a lot of bugs out there. In the year 2000, in France, a 600-mile-long picnic was done to commemorate the first Bastille Day of the new millennium.
I would imagine there was a lot of screwing there. A lot, being that they're French.
We'll tone it down for you, ears. Mr. Sensitive. What are we at for time, 7? What was I going to tell? Okay. So I finally got my air conditioning fixed in my car.
It was
serious damage. Yeah, I know. I was just putting it off. $1,500.
How do you put? You can't put something like that off in Arizona.
It's been acting up on me since October.
Was it sassing you?
It was, and finally it just went ha ha ha. You're not going to get it, and just in time because it just for 3 days it just quit working. So yikes. I took it to my buddies down at Plug National Automotive, which is located on Sweetwater and the I-17 on the frontage road. And they're very good friends of mine, and they always treat me right, and they're really cool. And actually did a dinner for them in April.
So if you want to buy a sponsorship for our show, this would be a good time to do it.
I know, so I'll make sure I call Randy McLaughlin and say, hey, did you hear that? Man, our pings went out of the roof when I mentioned National Automotive. But yeah, it's nice to have it. It's nice to have it working.
That's good. I don't know what people would do otherwise. If you don't have air conditioning in Arizona during the summer, what do you do, sit on like an ice block?
You could. You could. I mean, know what? That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. You could get like a seat-sized one of those squishy ice packs and sell them.
That'd be great for the back sweat. I'm going to do it.
Right? Don't you think that would be cool? The ones that they look like a whole bunch of Otter Pops stuck together?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's genius.
I know, isn't
Make
it?
Make a vest out of that and put it on. It's your driving vest.
I know someone's going to steal this from us.
Driving vest.
I'm sure they will. God. So we had a really great show last week with Chef Stephen Jones of DeSoto Central Market and Jacob Coutinho of Homeboy's Hot Sauce.
Homeboy's Hot Sauce.
I'm Jacob Coutinho. And we actually plugged in Gio Oso's little thing at the end. at the very end. Just go to the end of the show. Now on IntoTheSoup.com. You have to do that.
I'm the only
later.
One. They don't have their mics on yet.
You can now go through the whole show, and you can start over, you can back it, you can forward it, you can pause it.
Yay, technology.
James O'Malley, my web guy, for finally fixing that for me, even though it was, I mean, I never asked him to. So, yeah, but he got it done, so it was really cool.
Yay, Jim. Yay.
So we have a very interesting show for you today. We're kind of venturing out just a little bit in a tangent, but we support the culinary arts, so dining doesn't go the way of Walmart. So that means local. And we've got a local jazz duo here today called Flavor. And the reason that it actually ties in together was because I saw them at a really cool joint called the Speakeasy.
And where is that? That's out in Carefree?
Yes.
Okay. We need to get out there.
Yeah, it is. It's so neat. Oh, go ahead. Turn it on. Here they come.
Here they come.
This is Lawrence Moss. Go ahead. And you're going to be there what?
Wait, what? Ross. Lawrence
Bring
Ross.
It in.
Oh, Ross, sorry.
Bring it in. We want to hear that beautiful voice.
Kiss that microphone.
Yeah.
When are we going to be there?
Yeah.
I think our next time is, when is that, Brian?
The 24th and 25th of this month.
24th and 25th of June. Yeah. Sweet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, this is Flavor. And the first time I went up there, I went up with Flagstaff. And he knows them.
Wait, Flagstaff?
Keith.
Oh,
I just call him Flagstaff.
That's your nickname. Huh?
It's easier to give a nickname.
It's his radio nickname.
It's his radio nickname. And I was doing an event, and he texted me, and he said, "Have you ever heard of the Speakeasy?" And I said, "No, but I want to." And he says, "When are you home?" And I said, "About 8:30." He's like, "Okay, I'll pick you up." And then he told me, he goes, "There's this band that I want you to hear because they are so phenomenal." And I'm like, "Okay, great, let's go." And I swear, he didn't want to miss you so badly. He was driving like 80 miles an hour on Happy Valley.
God bless him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we walked in the door, and I want to save that for later when we go into the next segment so I can really introduce it because we only have a few seconds left in this one. So, Brian Donaldson.
Yes, ma'am.
You're so glad that you're here.
Thank you for having us.
We've been
us.
Working on getting this done for a while. Lawrence Ross.
Yes.
Yes, I got it right. Sorry. I don't know where Moss was coming from. You're Flavor Lawrence in my phone, so.
Yeah, I like that.
There you
that
go. Okay,
cool.
That works. Okay, and Emily King is here. You. Okay, this is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee, and I'm here with my rock and radio redhead, Emily King.
Emily King.
Yeah, we're ensconced in the back room at Bootleggers, talking to Flavor.
Flavor.
Okay, so I got to tell you guys this. You gave me a couple of your CDs, and I listened to both of them when I was on a road trip, and it was absolutely lovely. And yesterday, I was looking at your website, or yesterday, the day before, kind of moving around, kind of checking you out, that kind of stuff. And so when I was writing my show notes, I listened to Savory, like three times. That is the most, I love that song. It's like sex in a song.
The only thing
it
I
is
hey.
So, I'd take it on Ooh. A picnic.
Yeah, there you go. It ought to work well
right
for that.
I love it. And so, when we heard you, so we walk into this Speakeasy, and I know it's going to sound rather strange, but it reminded me of when I was a kid. Because that's when your parents could actually take you into a place like that to appreciate music.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, you were responsible parents, and your kids weren't sitting there, you know, going to the bathroom, pounding tequila. And
right.
And it made me think of my parents mm-hmm. and how much they loved music and going to places like that. And then we sat down in, like, this perfect table, and you started to play. And I was, Emily knows all about this, jumping up and down and pointing. And I'm just like, oh, my God. And it was like, I think Keith and I had, this was like our third date. And he's like, wow.
He's like, is this what it's always going to be like?
She's really excitable. And your music was just beautiful. And I was so inspired. And I did get very excited. And I really hadn't had that much to drink. And so we invited you guys over to sit with us for a while. And we started talking about the name of your group mm-hmm. and how that related to culinary and my entire world. And the fact that a lot of the songs on your that you do are based on culinary.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, it's like yeah. For example, Lawrence Flavor. Give me one. What's the title that has culinary? So we know there's Savory.
We have one called A La Carte. We have one called Mushrooms.
What's that? Is that one of the techno ones?
That one's a sort of a crazy one, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little psilocybin crazy.
Yeah.
A la carte.
We have another one called mac and cheese.
Yep. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's
awesome. We have one called soul food.
Okay, of course you.
And more soul food.
And Mo. Well, I love it. It's Mo flavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd you come up with the name?
Of the group?
Yeah.
You know, it was just one of them weird deals where we just wrote down about 50,000 names. And just kind of started crossing them off and got down to this one, and it sounded pretty darn good. So we thought, okay, we'll stick with this. Okay.
And we'll add a U.
I know.
Yeah, the British spelling.
Right. Yeah.
Because you have lots of, you know. Have you had a lot of influence across the pond, actually?
Well, I hear they like, you know, our music a lot over in Europe.
Really? Yeah,
have you done a tour or anything?
We're working on it.
That's awesome.
But we have been traveling, you know, between Vegas, California,
Kansas.
Vegas, California, Chicago. And Kansas.
that's where Brian's from, so we had to hit up the home
state. You're from Kansas.
I'm from Kansas.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I love your hat.
Thank you.
I like both your hats.
I know.
So I was just like, they're both in hats and flavor. I just got to call you that. I know you both are, but you're Brian and you're Flavor, because that's how you show up in my phone. Flavor Lawrence. It's not like I know a whole bunch of Lawrences or anything, but I would never, ever consider calling you Larry.
No, please don't.
Larry!
No.
No, you're a Lawrence,
you know,
for sure.
Some people think that they can just call me Larry without asking me. What is that?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They say, hey, Larry, and I don't turn around.
Like, what was
that? No. I'm a name shortener. That's why. One of the reasons my daughter's name is Samantha, because she could be Samantha, Sam, Sammy.
Yeah, but, you can call me Lar.
Lar?
Yeah.
I'm calling you Flavor. That's what I'm going to call you. So how long have you guys been together?
About 7 years now.
Yeah, wow.
Okay. 7 years.
And where did you meet? Who wants to tell the story? Is that, you know, was it at a
Is it private?
No, I can tell it. Well, so Brian plays saxophone. And I play
800 other instruments.
Yeah. Like four or five different saxophones.
Right.
And I play the piano, and I make, you know, background tracks. So for a while there, that was my, you know, primary source of income, is making tracks for singers and other musicians.
Okay.
You know, so I had made a track for a singer, and coincidentally, he was singing in the same, you know, venue or area that Brian was at another gig for.
Okay.
So if I'm correct, you know, Brian heard this guy singing, and he heard his music, and he goes, you know, your singing was great, but where did you get that track from?
That's exactly what I said.
Really?
Exactly.
Where did you get that track from? So apparently, this guy had one of my songs playing at that time. So he got Brian in contact with me, and that's how it started.
Okay, so that's when you just initially met and paired up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and was that longer than seven years?
We paired up, but not like we are now. We paired up as far as, you know, he was, like, doing these tracks for me, but these tracks were blowing me away. They were just, like, so fabulous. I'm like, how can this be, you know? How come I'm not working with this guy all the time? And it took a little while, but I just kept buying tracks, you know, and we just kept getting closer and being around each other more, and finally, we decided, okay, let's put this together and make something happen. So,
and you did.
Yeah.
And you did. So how is it going? Are you gaining recognition? And, like, you guys are heading up to Flagstaff this weekend, right?
Yeah, that song Savory, which is off of our first EP, made it up to number 28 on the Smooth Jazz charts.
Wow.
So that was pretty
cool.
You
got to listen to it. Fantastic. So that's one that we will definitely bump her out with.
Show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And I did. I sent you a little snippet.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, that one too.
But I seriously did listen to it last night when I was doing my show notes.
Cool.
I was just like, wow, this is just so mellow. But what I didn't get was, what are you saying? It was hard for me to hear it, and I wrote it down, but I can't find it.
So,
because you kind of sing the lyrics in the background.
To that, and actually one of our friends, Anthony Sharp, sang that for us.
Okay.
But he's saying, you know, this taste is so enchanting. It makes me think of you, kind of like a picnic, sort of, right?
Okay. savoring your sweet flavor, is that one of them? Right.
Savoring your sweet fragrance.
Okay, fragrance. Okay, yeah. That's cool.
I want to feast with you.
There it is. Okay. Oh, yeah, hey. I was like listening back.
You can take
that
how you want.
It up. Yeah. Well, well, obviously, it's all innocence and kindergarten here at Into the Soup. No, it's a great song. So you got your name, you got everything together, and I know what I wanted to say. Can I have a saxogram?
We can work that out.
You know what? Those are starting to work out for us.
I watched the one you did for your wife, Lisa. That was so awesome.
So
tell Emily because she doesn't know.
Yeah, I need to hear.
Go
about
ahead,
this.
Brian. Oh, sorry.
Well, a saxogram, it's really cool. It's like, okay, so Emily, say your husband, okay? Mm-hmm. Say it's his birthday, and you wanted to do something really special for him, so you would maybe contact his work and say, okay, I got these couple of guys that are going to come. They're going to perform a happy birthday song and one other song. And so, they put everything together, and they work with you on working to surprise him. And we come into the place. Maybe you come with us. Maybe you don't. And we go into the place, kind of set up a little bitty area, have the balloons and everything in this little bitty area. And maybe his working constituents or whatever, they'll trick him into being in a meeting or something while we do that. And then all of a sudden they'll say, hey, you're needed over here in this other room. And he'll come in and then, bam, we hit him with the song.
I love it.
We put on a little performance for him and whoever else is there.
Yeah.
So it's like
isn't that great?
So it's like a telegram. But with sax and keys.
I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So, it was really great.
Can you? What's that song? It's like do 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 do.
What?
Which one is that?
Never mind. I'll think of it.
Okay, maybe on break.
I'm not gonna sing it. And
I think you should try it.
Come on, Emily. Come on, Emily.
Come on,
we can figure it out.
I'll look it up.
I'll look it up. Okay, Google it.
You guys will know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm sure we will when we get there. Yeah, and in the right key.
YouTube awesome. Sexy sex, man.
Okay. You know what's funny is that we're all musicians. So I'm vocals, keyboards, and
clearly
guitar.
I'm tone deaf. No.
Something with vocals, it has nothing to do. So you're keyboards, and you play a few other instruments too, right?
Yeah, I play the trumpet.
Ooh, trumpet. My daughter's trumpet.
Different types of keyboards.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. What is that?
One of those. This.
That looks like something from elementary school.
I know. I love
and
it.
And I love you it that what? It's baby blue.
Does it have sound effects?
It's a melodica, which is
okay.
A harmonica with keys.
Okay. Can you, when we go on break, can you, plug it in so we can hear it a little bit?
Yeah, I can. I don't need to plug it in. I can
oh, you don't?
It. Yeah, it sounds like a harmonica.
Oh, snag it. Bring it over.
Yeah, let me,
why not?
Right.
You might as well.
That's solid.
This is fun.
I think we'll be able to pick it up a little bit.
I just love the fact that you guys were at a speakeasy because I was really expecting. And it's called Speakeasy, and it's on Speakeasy Street.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And they
in
were
carefree.
Just in carefree, I know. Picnic. And he was just getting started. He'd only been open for a couple of months, and he didn't tell anybody. This was total word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the food was nice. It was more like charcuterie and cheese and stuff, but they were getting things different. But they had like a lobster martini in a big, huge martini glass.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So very innovative. And it's, I think now he finished it right. So now along that whole back wall, it's all bar and mirrors.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, you got to go up there, and especially if Flavor is playing and are in the house, because it was just, you need to play longer.
Yeah, so those of us from Mesa can make the hour and a half drive.
I'm in Mesa, too. Well, Mesa Chandler.
Yeah, that's a long drive.
Let's play out there a little more, okay, guys?
Well, they're going to be at the Perch.
Yeah, every Thursday we're in Chandler at the Perch.
Which oh, okay.
Is
all right.
Downtown Chandler.
You'd like that, too. It's a real nice atmosphere.
Love
it's outside.
It.
Up on a rooftop.
Is there misters and stuff right now?
Yeah, okay. And misses.
Can you come in a wet bathing suit is really the question. Is that acceptable?
just popping your head, or is that like a, one of your,
I was waiting for you to say
pocket
it,
jokes? No. That was funny. That's nice. That is a really, really, really neat joint. So you got your thing, and you've got Mo Flavor. So how many CDs have you done, and how much original versus cover do you do? So that's a bilateral question.
Well, our first CD with Savory,
right?
That was our EP release in about 2 years ago.
When you say AP?
EP. Which is it's not a full length album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it has about 6 songs on that one.
Okay.
And then our second CD, which is unofficially released, but we're going to have an official release here pretty soon.
Okay.
Dates coming soon. And that one has 10 tracks on it called Hungry for More.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. I like that. Hungry Not for hungry more. For mo. I like Hungry for More better.
You know, we have to sort of cater to all audiences.
No, of course you do. Know? And I mean, your music, because you guys don't just do, like, you do R&B, you do soul, you do contemporary jazz, you do a little techno.
We try to do it all instrumentally. But we do also throw some vocals in there.
Yeah.
You know, we're not professionals, you know.
Like me.
Vocalists. Or me.
Like Emily. Yeah.
I want to sing with you guys sometime.
Okay.
Let's make that happen.
I used to be in a band.
I just remembered, by the way, before we go out, I just remembered the name of the song.
What?
Okay. I'm never going to dance again.
Oh, I know that song.
Oh, yeah.
I know the song you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. George Michael. Yes. Oh, my God. Okay, with that, we'll take a break.
Was that
George Michael?
Whisper?
Yeah, yeah. Carol's Whisper, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's actually a really good song.
It is.
Been there, done that. Oh, wait, we'll do it on the way back. Okay, so this is Heidi Lee here into the Soup. We're at Bootleggers. We're with Flavor. We'll be right back. Lawrence Ross on the melodica, ladies and gentlemen.
That
it's
was
got
killer.
A great beat. I probably couldn't dance to it, but I liked it anyway. That's hilarious. George Michael's Careless Whisper. Okay, we are going to do our Soup of the Week, which is brought to you by Grey Tie Events, culinary entertainment exclusively for women prepared by men. Let's chew on that for a moment. Grey Tie provides a unique dining experience for you and your friends. Invite your besties over, gather around the island, and prepare to be pampered. They bring the party to you and tailor the menu to your taste. Their goal is for every client to have a Grey Tie, every client of a Grey Tie event to feel perfectly pampered and utterly adored. You can visit greytieevents.com. So the Soup of the Week is from one of our resident guests at Trillium 44. So once a month we go down there and do a Wine Down Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we have some very, very interested foodies there. Which is sometimes very challenging for me.
They're trying to get in there. And
you know, they're just like, you know, hey, what is this? And sometimes I just say, I don't know. I'm just a really, really good cook with big boobs and a nice smile. Gets me in the door. I don't often call myself a chef. But anyway, I love the group over there. We sell out every time.
What's the name of this resident, this talent, culinary?
Jared.
Talented.
His name
Jared.
Is Jared.
Okay.
And Jared sent me and Jared wears like golf shorts, like Bing. But is that his name from Back to the Future?
Okay.
Biff.
Yeah, there you go.
Biff. But anyway, really super nice guy and his wife, and I can't remember her name. I think it's Christine. Anyway, he sent me this soup and it's a creamy potato that is topped with a crouton and cheese. Now, I would put Gruyere and a combination of cheddar. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's a lovely soup. We're going to sing the part ready. And the recipe for that is on
intothesoup.com.
Okay, one more time.
intothesoup.com.
Beautiful.
Wow, that was the best it's
ever
sounded.
Well, geez, we've got musicians here. Okay, so you guys got to help me out because these are my show notes, which below this line are zero.
You have
so me. Let's talk about what you want to talk about. So let's start with you, Brian. When did you first start playing music?
I started playing music at a very young age. I was pretty much under the church influence all my life. So as a kid, I heard a lot of great music in my church because all of my relatives that were older than me. I mean, there was always somebody that could sing. There was always somebody that could play. So you're growing up and you're listening to this going, you know, I just got to figure out where I fit in. You know, and, you know, we used, when you're a little bitty, they made you play the bongos or something, just anything, as long as you were on time.
Here's
if
a
you're
shaker.
On time, they would thump you on the head and give the bongos to somebody else. So you had to learn how to do it on time.
Mm-hmm.
And then so then you
You know, as you got a little older, you could do, you got maybe play the drums and the tambourine. And then, but you had to do everything very well because our church had a lot of excellence involved in their music, and they would thump
so
you on the head.
So what denomination?
It was Church of God in Christ.
Okay.
And they would thump you on the head and tell you to give that thing to somebody else. So you had to practice during the week so you could be good enough on Sunday. And then, but I had a cousin who was a little older than me. His name was Bishop. He became a bishop. His name was William Watson III. And he was a saxophone player. And I used to hear him play on Sundays as a kid. And I couldn't wait to get to the church on Sundays just to hear him play. And that was my big influence. That was my big start to being a saxophone player was just listening to him.
Okay. Awesome. Did you take lessons?
Yes. Oh, yes, did? Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yes.
I
have a degree in music. I went to.
Oh,
I got a degree in music, but you know, but I feel like I learned so much more from the far feeling, playing from the feeling and from the heart by being in church. I mean, I learned all the theory and all that stuff going through school, but there's another side
of
it.
Where'd you go to school?
It was in a junior college in Ark City where I was raised up.
All right.
And so it's a difference in the way it all came together because, you know, you had little theory stuff on one side, but then you got this heartfelt stuff on the other side. And then when I started mixing it all together, I guess I developed whatever you might call my style.
Well, it's left and right side of your brain, you know, because you've got the science and the math that comes with music theory, which is really what that is.
Yes.
And then you've got the creative. I can never remember which side's creative and which side's logic.
I think the left side is creative.
The left is creative. Okay.
Yeah.
So you got your left side of the brain going, I'm going to play with my heart, and the right side of your brain going, wait a minute, there's some science and math involved here.
Exactly.
Coordination.
So you've got this, you know, you've got this little duet going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, wait, one more question. How many kids in your family?
Three.
Okay.
I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
Oh, so you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest.
Did they follow in music too?
No, actually, they decided to make money. So they're one of them, you know, one of them is an engineer and the other one's in the nursing field. So.
Okay. That's well, funny. Follow your passion. It doesn't really matter.
There you go.
Okay, and you like horses. We'll talk about that later. Okay, where'd you get your start? Flavor.
Well, I don't remember, actually.
Really?
No, I've always been playing piano.
Okay.
So my mom tells me that, you know, when I was 6 months, I had a piano in front of me making up something. You know,
it may not
have sounded like music then, but there was definitely a pattern.
Okay.
And so my mom took lessons when she, you know, was a kid, but she didn't pursue music as a career.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was growing up, you know, I played the piano. And then when I was in elementary school, I started with the trumpet. And that's how I learned my theory and how to read music. And so I stuck with it. Mm-hmm. And when I was going to college, you know, I would tell people, hey, you know, I want to do music as a career. And no one in my family had any experience with that.
Okay.
So all I got was, oh, you need to get a real job.
So you're a foreigner.
So, you need to get a real job. I was like, well, I want to do music. And you need to get a real job. So in college, I ended up getting my degree in urban planning.
Oh, really?
Which I really like.
Okay.
But after I finished college, I became a full-time musician.
Okay. Did your mom get mad? All that money wasted on college.
Well, no. You know, when I was in college, I started gigging.
Okay.
It was actually maybe about around the time that I met Brian, maybe about a year or two before that, is when I started making money, you know,
okay.
in music. And
so that just fueled it for you. You're like, I can do this.
Yeah. So I was making, you know, in the beginning, it wasn't a lot. But by the time I had met Brian and I was graduating, you know, from ASU.
Right.
Go Sun Devils.
Yeah, that's where my daughter's going.
Beware the fork.
Yeah, yeah.
Beware the fork.
So by the time I graduated, you know, I was pretty much making around the same money as I would have with my degree.
Okay.
Right on. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It's hard to do as a musician. Which
it is. Yeah. And it takes you away from family and, you know, you travel a lot.
It depends. It depends on, there's so many areas in music in which you can make money that get overlooked.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. It's the same as with being a chef.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't
yeah.
have to work in a restaurant on the line.
Yeah. And so something that I've learned, unfortunately, you know, I didn't necessarily come from a wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our case, most people are sort of groomed to become employees. You know, we grow up, we're supposed to get a job with benefits. That's
I know. Well, they're still drilling that in. Yes.
Well, they still do that. But none of us are told that we could start our own business, at least where I came from.
Right.
Or we can do something that on your own.
Right. Entrepreneur.
Yeah. And so even today, when I talk to my family, you know, I'm from Atlanta. And so every time I call back home, are you still doing music? How's that going? I'm like, well, yeah, I'm doing music. You know,
doing music.
If I owned a business, any other kind of business, they wouldn't say, are you still doing whatever
furniture?
Are you still doing furniture? Or are you, they would say, how's your business going? You know, it would be a different conversation.
Right.
So, so that's.
Well, you know what's interesting? Because a long time ago, I mean, maybe not even that long ago, people looked down on people being a chef. You know, it was almost servant-ish. Mm-hmm. Well, it was back in the, you know, in the Renaissance periods. And in Imperial China, you were a slave. So the lowest of low people were the ones who made the food.
Uh-huh. And then the chefs got wise and realized that they could manipulate the food and get, you know.
Well, you know, there's that. But, I mean, it was dropped down, you know. Yeah, right, and poison people. But it was more of a, if you were a slave and you were a cook for an imperial or someone that was higher up in the, you know, the dynasty, then your children were the same thing. And they never broke out of it.
Right.
And then people during the Renaissance period, the reason where the toque came from, that tall white hat, was part of them hiding away, being secreted away as a chef, as people who cooked, not just threw food together, but actually cooked, because they were persecuted and considered witches. Yeah, so they hid under the hoods the same as the monks did. Yeah, it's very fascinating. And so then it becomes this elevated industry.
Yeah.
But it's that left side of the brain. You know, but then you become an executive chef or even someone that runs their own business like me.
Right, right.
And you're using the math and the science and the right side of the brain to go with the creative part of it. And to be honest, it's not easy. It's not like I'm a songwriter too. And it's not like they just flow out of you. I mean, all the time. I mean, sometimes you get, you know, significantly inspired, you know, like maybe on a picnic. and a piece, you know, you can't even think about it, though. I mean, I've written songs in 10 minutes, and sometimes it's taken me 4 days to write a song. I used to write personalized wedding songs for family and friends, and then the divorce rate, including my own, was like hit over 70%, and I'm like, I'm giving this up.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, this may seem kind of crazy, but you can make divorce songs, too. No, I mean, seriously.
That's the opposite end of the picnic.
Way opposite. Who gets a picnic basket? You bought that for me.
Could you do like a divorce saxogram?
No. You know,
it could be.
We're joking about this, but... But even, and Brian can say this, you know, there's been people that actually have divorce parties and they spend the money that they are getting from, you know, from the divorce.
Oh, we've been waiting for one of those with Grey Tie events. It's like, when is someone going to call me up and just say, my divorce is final in 2 weeks, I'm having a party, I want you and your really talented male chefs to come in and make us dinner.
Exactly.
And I'm going to go, okay, you guys have to identify her immediately. No fraternization with the clients. Yeah, but you probably could. You can write a divorce song. Yeah. Why not? It's called country music.
There you go. Yeah. That's true.
A lot of it is.
Yeah.
A lot of it is.
Yeah.
So what did you, aside from growing up with church music, you were from Kansas. Where in Kansas?
I grew up in a little town about 1 hour south, a drive of 1 hour south of Wichita.
Wichita.
Then this town is called Arkansas City, Kansas, where I'm from.
Okay.
Very little.
That's a lot to write on a return envelope. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah. Arkansas City, Kansas.
And you're from Atlanta, you said?
Well, I was born in Atlanta, but I moved around a lot, like a lot.
Okay.
Like,
why?
Gumbo a lot. Family dynamics.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. Short, I thought you were going to say military or something. Yeah.
No.
I moved around a lot. From the time I was 17 years old until 2007, I didn't live anywhere longer than 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was 30-something years. And I'm even within, like, the same city. So I'd move from one apartment to the other. But even still,
right here.
When David and I were, when my ex-husband and I were first married, we lived in 5 states in 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And that wasn't family dynamics. That was wanderlust. Time to go. Let's go. Let's go. Or new jobs, or, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't, you know, we're traveling. I mean, he worked, but he just kept getting different positions.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it was fascinating. Lived in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. I love Chicago.
I saw your video from Chicago.
Yeah, isn't it nice?
Were you down in Grant Park? Is that where you were, close to that?
We were close.
You were on the lake.
On the lake.
We were actually
on the beach. We were on the beach.
We were not too far from the Chicago White Sox stadium. Well, maybe about 10 minutes from there.
Okay.
The White Sox. So,
so was the city, like, directly behind you?
North of us, yeah.
It was, okay. All right. Okay, I know where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved Chicago.
Yeah, along Lakeshore
Drive. Yeah, Lakeshore Drive, yeah.
That was a fun tour, man. That was fun.
Are you going to be... Go ahead, Em.
Well, where are your favorite places to play music, like, when you're traveling? What's your favorite city to play in, just because of the energy or the setting or any combination of those things?
Well, I like Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Well, just it has such a history.
It does.
Talk about speakeasies.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Of course.
Good answer.
So let me ask you this, and help with questions, because I didn't write any idea. I thought I had more than this. Favorite gig, worst gig? Go ahead. If you got something to say.
Well, in the earlier segment, you were going to ask how many of our songs are cover versus original.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so on our first EP, we just have one cover song, which is our sort of take on Lowrider. And we call it Take a Little Trip.
Oh, I love it.
Take a little trip.
I need to hear this. I love that song.
Yeah, and but on our second CD, I think we have about 3 or 4 out of the 10 songs are cover songs.
Okay.
And we do go back to some of our church background on that one, too. So we we do a cover of the song This Is the Day.
Okay,
I do.
Oh, well, sing it.
That's
bars
that's where my musical
Emily.
Background came
Maybe
from.
You pick it up and play it on the melodica.
We do a version of that song. We have a version of a song called Joy and Pain.
Okay.
And another church song called Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's one more.
Everything Must Change.
Oh, a song by George Benson.
Oh,
yeah.
I need to get my hands on this.
Everything Must Change, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
That's fantastic.
All right, we're going to take a quick break because we're running down and I want to have a little more time with you at the end of the show. So this is fun. You having a good time?
I'm having a great time.
Good.
Thank you.
He said you didn't talk much. Guess you proved him wrong.
He's talking.
He's talking. God bless us, everyone. All right, this is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. This is the last segment of Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee. See, guys, I told you it went fast. Nobody ever believes me. They're like, it's going to be a whole hour?
Yes.
What are we going to do? Well, not right now. We're going to wrap up pretty quick, but we're going to do the weekly Wet Your Whistle, which is brought to you by CCAP, Careers Through Culinary Arts Program here in Arizona. And our weekly wet is brought to you by the lovely Lauren, and it is a bathtub gin.
Yes.
Bring that right up there. Okay, so what's in it? I'm gonna drink it, and you talk.
All right, so it's made
it's
with
like a ventriloquist, but not really.
So it's gonna be made with Hendrick's gin. What we do is we muddle cucumbers first, and then it has Hendrick's gin, fresh lemon, some simple syrup, and then we use lemon, like a lemon bitters at the top. So
that okay? Would you take that on a picnic?
I would.
That's really nice.
Lit up.
That is like so. Is that your own creation?
No, it is not. That's actually one of the cocktails that we opened with. It's one of the few that we've kept around.
Yeah,
it's just a really
here.
Good drink. So.
Well, that's like perfect for beating that summer heat. And if you don't have, you know, our new, you know, what were we going to call it, Emily, for our air conditioner? With the Otter Pops
a driving
all put together.
Vest.
Yeah, driving vest. It's made
summer
out of
driving
slushies.
Vest.
So that would work. So Lauren's taking care of this afternoon. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Delicious.
We appreciate it. Yay! See, it's not that bad.
I'm really not.
Can I have that? You did a great job. Thanks, Lauren. I don't know. I'm good. You guys okay?
I'll take water.
You got water? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so anyway, let's jump into this. I have one event to talk to you about, actually two. Sips and Sweets, June 25th. Presented by New Times and the lovely Lauren Saria. Different Lauren. She's a Phoenix food writer for Ciao Bella. It's 3 to 6 p.m. at Vintage 45. This is the first year they're doing it, and it's going to feature 20 of the city's top bakers, so think the sweets, and 10 of Phoenix's most respected mixologists. So those are your sips. And a portion of the proceeds benefits CCAP.
Excellent.
I know. We love that. Sounds taking like care fun. Of our kids. The other one, June 20th, is a tasting with Homeboy's Hot Sauce at Okra. So that would be Jacob Coutinho and Colin Campbell. Tickets are $35, and I think it's going to be a three pairing tasting. So that should be pretty neat. Before I forget, next week, speaking of funny voices, we'll be sitting down with the one-on-one with Gio Osso.
Yay.
Out there at Gilbert. I love Gio. He's so cute.
His new place, right?
Yep, Nico Heirloom Kitchen. So he's been open for like, I don't know, a couple of months. And he's just going nuts. And so this will be a Father's Day show. And so we're going to talk about that. He's got a couple of little critters. So, okay, guys, let us talk about the fact that you can rent you.
for a picnic.
That's the music part of the picnic. So you're available for private events.
Yes.
And bean bars. We kind of want to get you in here at Bootlakers. Hint, hint, Rick Phillips.
.com. Too soon? No.
Yeah, it's okay. You can sing, see? So you do that. You do country clubs.
Yes.
You can do hotels. You can do weddings.
Yes.
And the fact that you guys are so flexible in what you do and innovative, I mean, you can really, someone can come in and you'll say, you know, we want this style of music. And since you're instrumental, you can change it up and make it be either R&B or hip-hop. Or do you do hip-hop?
We can. And we also if they request, you know, a singer, too, we can do a singer, a male or female vocalist as well.
Well, I think we need to get together and jam with me.
So
that would be cool.
I think it would be fun. Cool. I would love to lay down a couple of tracks with you guys. That would be a blast.
Favorite piece of music from each of you or song that you like to play, listen to?
Or listen to.
Well, the saxophone players, Gerald Albright and Kirk Whalum, are the guys that I listen to that I try to pattern myself after. So I just love about everything they do.
Okay.
So my favorite musician of all time is Clifford Brown.
Okay.
He's a guy from the 50s, plays the trumpet, but he was way ahead of his time.
How about you, Em? Do you have one? I have so many.
It's hard to nail it down.
I mean, I like the classics. Barbara Streisand was amazing. I think that she just had a fantastic voice. And someone very few people knew of, his name was John Kerry. John Gary.
Oh, okay.
It's like the politician.
John Kerry, not that. No, not him.
That John Kerry?
Not him. And he had a 4-octave range.
Oh, wow.
4-octave range, Irishman. And he actually played Carnegie Hall.
What's on in your car right now, each of you?
Flavor.
Savory.
Actually, Flavor is on in my car, too.
George Michael is in your car right now.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't have one. Lifehouse. That's kind of one of my new bands. I like them. They do all that romantic, silly stuff that, you know, just makes me really happy.
I like 90s music, too.
Do you? Is that from the 90s?
I'm pretty sure.
Falling In, is that when that's from the 90s, really? Oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I just put on Pandora, and if I hear
something
wrong
with the 90s.
No, there isn't. I listen to it a lot.
Well, geez, you were playing George Michael.
Oh, yeah.
That was the 90s.
I love George Michael.
No, he was so hot.
That one was the 80s, though. That one you're talking about.
Yeah. Was it? Oh, yeah, it was. That's right, because I was in college.
That was my decade.
Was that your decade? Weren't you in like elementary school? I was like, oh, you were a baby still?
I was born.
Oh, my
87.
God.
87. Represent.
87?
Yeah. 80s babies in the house.
Are you an 80s baby?
Yes.
You're not. Please tell me you're not an 80s baby.
I know.
Okay. Yay. Let's stick together over there, Brian. Probably still got you by a few years. So you guys are going to be at the Perch in Chandler every Thursday night for the month of June.
Yes.
Okay, is that going to continue through July and all of that, too, or are you going to be moving around a little
permitting.
Bit? Okay, you mean if we're not standing on the surface of the sun?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We're
going to come and see you.
This Thursday?
Yeah, we'll be there this Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can find Emily King at the Perch this Thursday.
Yeah.
What time do you play?
We'll be looking forward to that. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, you
should
We
go.
Have a singer there, too, on Thursdays. We have a singer.
Right on.
Yeah, we have a great singer on Thursdays.
That'd be really fun.
Lady singer, male singer?
It's a male singer.
Okay.
And he's fabulous.
Awesome.
He's fabulous.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I'm so glad we finally got to have you on. I've been waiting for, like, the perfect time because it just didn't come up, but I think this was pretty perfect.
Well, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
We just wanted to add our flavor to your show.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I mean, I won't forget when we walked in there, and the last song that you did was Stevie Wonder. Isn't she lovely?
Isn't she lovely?
Yes. Yeah. And I was, do it. Okay, yes, so we're going to bump her out with that. This is Heidi Lee, Emily King. Thank you very much. The Jazz Duo Flavor. And we are out of here. Peace. Take care of each other. Take care of yourself.
Fantastic.
Yay! I love my job. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. This is Heidi Lee. Peace out.